So, Brother Art, you have a question.
Yes. The Trinity, talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Father correlates with our mind, Jesus correlates with our flesh, and the Spirit correlates with our spirit. How do they interact with each other?
Like we...
Let's do this. These pies. By the way, this is a big piece of pie, Brother Ray, but I know you could have handled that back in your day.
He could eat.
Here we have God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay?
We have our flesh. Now, Genesis 1:26 says what? God said, "Let us make man in our image." Image there means what? Spiritual image, spirit, shadow casting likeness, and our blood flowing likeness. Now there, we have spirit there, we have blood flowing likeness. Blood flowing, that comes from the word in Hebrew here. Sharon, what is that word?
Dom.
Dom. Adam comes from that word. Blood comes from this word. And let us make man in our blood flowing likeness. Now, what would that be in the Godhead? We have spiritual likeness and we have blood flowing likeness.
Jesus, the one whose blood flowed for us.
Yeah, the one whose blood flowed for us, Jesus. Now, and then it says in our sovereign likeness.
Could be our
shadow. Shadow, spirit, body, and then soul and mind. Let him be, have dominion over, sovereignty over the birds of the sky, the fishes of the sea, and the animals, every creeping, crawling thing on the earth, okay? So there we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knowing. And we have man in mind, body, and soul, or spirit. Mind, soul, and spirit. There's the triuneness. And God made man in his triune image. And how did he make angels? Their triune likeness. Do angels have form?
Yes.
They are clothed. Are spirits clothed?
No.
Spirits and angels have a very different order because spirits are not clothed. They seek to dwell in animal or human flesh. Okay? Can the spirit of Satan dwell in someone?
Yes.
Two examples.
What?
In the pigs, there. Okay, and then what else? Satan. Where?
Nahash.
In the pig, now Satan went into the serpent, Nahash. Okay, what else? Who else did Satan enter into in his spirit?
Judas
Iscariot. Okay, so there we have that example. All right, now. But angels have form. What two different forms of angels are actually maybe three do we have?
Cherubim.
What is cherubim? What does cherub mean? What does cherub mean?
I don't know the way that means.
It actually means wind. And the cherubs have wings. See, someplace right here, cherubim. Cherubs, the cherubs or the cherubim. And there was a cherubim that guarded the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? They had access to the tree of life before, but after they sinned, they did not. Okay, what is the other form of angels?
Seraphim.
What does seraphim mean?
Flame.
Flame or fire. Okay, now what other order of angels are there?
Archangels.
Okay, and what three orders of angels are there?
Physical, spiritual.
Again, here we have man and body, soul, and spirit, okay? And then we have angels. We have Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Material, mental, spirit.
Mm-hmm. All right? This helping you? She's taking a lot of notes. All right. Does this help? Because we see the triunity of God. the Trinity of man, the Trinity of animals? Do animals have souls? Yes. What is the word in Hebrew, Sharon? Marilyn. Brother Ray. Hebrew for soul. All living things have souls. Nephesh. Nephesh.
Nephesh. That's the word in Hebrew.
We find that every animal has nephesh, has a soul. Every animal is an individual life. Do animals think?
Yes.
Can they figure?
Yes.
Can they love? Can they hate? Mm-hmm. All of these things, they do this. Okay? Do animals have spirits?
What is it?
Ruach. Ruach. Or pneuma. Do all animals have spirit? That's what keeps them alive.
Mm-hmm.
Do all animals have basar? Flesh. Yes. Sars. Do they have bodies? Soma. All of these things. Now see, the average preacher doesn't preach this, Brother Art.
Where does the animal instinct fall into? What category?
Animals have instinct that they're born with. Homing instincts and all of, and they have learned behavior. Learned behavior. Animals learn and they remember it. Some animals have a very high intelligence. Pigs are very high intelligent. Whales are very intelligent. Dolphins are very intelligent. I found out how intelligent a duck was. And I talked to a veterinarian and I said, why was my duck so smart? And he said, a duck and some parrots have the intelligence of a 6-year-old child. In other words, they can remember and have capacity that much. Okay, yes, Brother Arthur.
I was told that when they had that tsunami that hit that one place, that as they were going through and they were surveying, they realized there was no animals there. They all went to high hills.
That's right. They knew that. They left. Animals know. Brother Art, you weren't out on the farm. Oscar Shears was out on the farm one time. We had an earthquake out on the farm. But I had a pig named Wilbur, which you knew. You knew Wilbur. Okay, Wilbur was a very smart pig. She was about 1,100 pounds at one time and about 8 or 9 foot long. She was unbelievably big and about this tall, wide. Everybody scared to death of Wilbur except for me, and she thought I was bigger than she was because I could make her mind. I'd get that little stick and whoop her a little bit and make her go do whatever she wanted. But we weren't going to have our earthquake out there. And Oscar was putting something in the rent house out there in the back. He was working for me. And he heard the pig squealing real loud. Wilbur started squealing, screaming. And then all of a sudden, within a minute, there was he said the house just started shaking. He said he thought Wilbur got loose and walked out of her pen, was in the rent house running around. Because he saw her when I'd say, Wilbur, open the door. And she could open the door. She could open a faucet, turn off a faucet. She could do all kinds of stuff. I took her out there one time, and when she was little, I carried her on the place about 7 or 8 pounds. Carried her in there. And, of course, now can you imagine 1,100 pounds? But when I carried her in there, when she was about 50 or 60 pounds, that pig was underneath my feet all the time, following me everywhere I went, taking my shoes off and running off with them. She wanted to play keep away, you know, hide and seek and all kinds of stuff. She'd run around, look around at me, you know, see if I was coming. Do all kinds of things. Anyway, I went out there one time, and I was working on her water trough. And I don't know whether you remember that water trough. It had a cage over the top of it, just a place for them to drink. And there was a float in there. Well, I went out there, and the water trough was running over, and the float was gone. How in the world did the float get off of there? It's underneath there. You have to reach underneath there and unscrew the float. So I went out there and put a new float on. And in the meanwhile, while I was putting on it, Wilbur took my shoe off of my foot and took off with my shoe, wanted to play keep away. Then when I get up and I get my shoe back from her, then she goes over there, sticks her head underwater, and reaches around there with her mouth and unscrews that float. And runs up there with like this in her teeth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Mechanics sometimes are almost impossible to teach. And one thing that mechanics, it's really hard to teach them is from the left hand, from the right. To do unscrew things and tighten them up. Especially this way and then this way underneath. This is real difficult for some people. They will break bolts off. Tighten them up. That pig saw me unscrew that float one time, unscrew things one time, and she could take them off every time. Well, anyway, I was out there doing something to Wilbur, and Wilbur was always underneath my feet. And you could always tell, you talked about storms. When the tsunami was coming, Wilbur, in the wintertime, she would make a great big bed. I put straw in her pen and everything else, and she'd pile it up in the corner underneath the shed there and have her a big bed up off the ground. And I have a picture of her like that.
Yeah.
Well, I went in there one time, and the guy that worked for me, Ricky, he works at Floyd's now. You remember Ricky. Anyway, Ricky was out there, and Ricky was afraid of pigs. And Ricky's black. And the pig was afraid of Ricky. But there was one bad thing. Marilyn, when we got these two pigs, she wanted to eat them. Well, we had one pig for a while, and we couldn't keep her in the pen or anything else. And Marilyn said, well, let's call them and have them both killed. And so we called a guy out, and he took a rifle, and he shot the other pig. He didn't shoot Wilbur. Wilbur never forgot that. She was scared to death of sticks, because that was a fire stick that killed her friend. Well, Ricky came out there, and he was standing outside the gate. And Wilbur's looking at him around me like this, and Ricky's looking in there like this at the blue pig and everything. I said, come on in, Ricky, come on in. I'm afraid of that pig. She's getting big. You know, like that. And I said, come on in, Ricky. He opened the door, and he started creeping in like that, and he had a rake in his hand. When he walked in there and he brought that rake in his hand with him like that, she screamed and jumped over and hit the water trough, splashed water all over me, and run and got behind me because she thought he was going to shoot her. And she's screaming and he's screaming. Ricky's screaming, ah! And Wilbur's screaming. They're both screaming and they're scared to death of each other. Well, I said, Ricky, throw the rake outside. And so he came in there and she'd look and smell of him like that. Come over and get back behind me and come over and get back behind me. She's thinking. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't lock anything on the place. I had to put a lock on the outside of that pen. She could get underneath and reach underneath. And I finally figured out how to put a lock on that pen to where she couldn't get out of it. And I'd unlock it and I'd say, now open up the gate, Wilbur, and she'd get out. I said, go do your stuff, Wilbur, and she'd lope. You saw her lope, Art. Lope, and the ground would shake. She was so heavy when she got bigger. And I say, it's time to get back in the pen. And we had pecan trees out there, and Wilbur loved pecans. And you know how people, you ever see somebody take a handful of sunflower seeds and stick in their mouth and spit out the shells? Wilbur would run around all over the place and picking up pecan in her mouth like this, and then start chewing them and spitting the shells out. Intelligence. You ever see a crow figure out how to break something? How to get into something? Mm-hmm. And monkeys and things? Do you ever see dogs and cats and things? If you're ever out on the farm, I had a pony named Peanut, a goat named Cutie, and a duck named Ducky. And those two were inseparable, weren't they? And they lay down every day and take a nap together. And if anything happened on that farm, with any of the animals were hurt or something, Peanut would tell me and make sure that I took care of it. She would not leave me alone. She wouldn't eat or anything until I went and checked something. One time we had another little duck that was killed by weasel. And I couldn't find this little duck named Sonny. I looked all over for Sonny, and she stood out there in the pasture, way out there in the pasture, and kept whinnying at me. And I gave her food. She wouldn't come. But I had to go look at Ducky, or at Sonny. She had found Sonny. We had Giardia out there, and the duck got Giardia Peanut got Giardia, and one of the cats was dying, and she was telling me about all this stuff. I took her to a veterinarian, and I said, find out what's wrong with this horse. Tell me. Yeah, I think you remember the Giardia out there.
I heard a story about Pastor was saying that there's a bird, a small bird, that when they fly, they squawk. They make noise when they fly.
Some of them, yeah.
So what they do is, what these birds do, is they reach down before they fly across a certain kind of lake. They reach down, they grab a whole kind of rock in their mouth. That rock prevents it from making noise, because there's a bigger bird, I'm not sure if it's an eagle or a blackbird, that will swoop down and take them. Mm-hmm. So if they fly across this lake, they got the rocks in their mouth, mm-hmm. and that prevents them from making noise.
Yeah. Animals are smart. Mm-hmm. When we say our animals are dumb animals, I'm going to tell you something, we're insulting God. We're insulting Him. Now, animals, as far as having an eternal future, I do not know. I can't see that God couldn't do that. Because there's going to be horses in the millennium, and there's going to be cows in the millennium, there's going to be snakes in the millennium, and everything else in the millennium. And I can't see that He can't populate the worlds, with animals. But I can't tell you that. I know that animals have bodies, spirits, and souls. That's all I can tell you. All right. Did I answer your question? Because we have triunity of things. We have a triune God. How many worlds will there be?
Three.
All right. The world that was, the world that is, the world that shall become. All of this. Now let's go to the fifth chapter. Did I help you any? All right. I know you're not going to get this from somebody that doesn't know Hebrew. Because they'll miss the boat. They'll miss it. I didn't see it. I heard the story that animals were dumb animals and they didn't have souls. I heard that. I was taught that. So I started studying Hebrew, and then I got to say, well, here it is, plain as day. Then I heard one old Hebrew teacher say that one time, that animals have souls. There it is, right there. That's what it says. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians. Now, how many letters were there to the Corinthian church?
Four
letters that we know of. That Corinthian church had a lot of problems. The Corinthian church had a lot of problems, and I am thankful they had problems because we have problems as churches today the same way. I'm going to start with the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read 1 through 5, and then we're going to go from 5 on, and we're going to read it in Greek. For we know that if the tent... the tabernacle, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, dissolved, begins to disintegrate. We have from God a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here indeed, in this present abode, the body, we sigh and we groan inwardly, because we yearn to be clothed over, clothed upon, to put on our celestial body like a garment, to be fitted out with our heavenly dwelling. So that by putting it on, we may not be found naked without a body. We don't want to die.
Amen. Brother, where are you at?
I'm in 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 1, and now I'm in verse 3. So that by putting it on, by being clothed upon without a body, and verse number 4, for while we are still in this tabernacle, in this tent, we groan under the burden and sigh deeply, weighted down, depressed, oppressed. Not that we want to put off the body, the clothing of the Spirit, but our body literally makes us mourn because of the sin that dwells in this tabernacle. But rather that we would further be clothed upon so that what is mortal, our dying body, may be swallowed up by life after the resurrection. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord could just rapture us right now? Woof! And we wouldn't have to taste any more suffering, any more pain. Verse number 5. And this is what we talked about last week. The free will of man. The freedom of man. The volition of man. Now he who has fashioned us, preparing and making us fit, for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. That is so beautiful. Now it says in Greek, Hode katergos minos. Hemas eis auto tuto theos hodis himan ton arebona tu pneumatos. Now the earnest money, Ephesians 1 and 14 says that God gives us His Holy Spirit as the down payment of eternal fulfillment of our salvation. This is what we call soteriology, the study of salvation. Mm-hmm. The down payment, the non-refundable down payment. Now, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if there's no Holy Spirit, if any part of the Holy Spirit is gone forever, think about that. Will there be a God? No. God as an entity will cease to exist. So God puts His existence online for the surety of our salvation. That can't be any more beautiful than that. Amen? Hallelujah?
Yes.
You glad the Lord did that? Because I couldn't keep my salvation 5 minutes if it was left to me. But if by the unrefundable down payment of the Holy Spirit that He gives us this. Now let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I was supposed to have my other Bible here to do that, because I had it marked, and I left it outside. So I'll have to do this. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, again. God has a title deed in you that He's going to guarantee that you're going to have eternal life. Of the things we hope for. Now in the Old Testament, all the way from the time of Adam, all the way to the cross of Calvary, they hoped that God's promise of the woman, the seed of the woman, would come true. Because not one of them would ever make it to heaven. Did you know that? No one could have ever got to heaven on their own, by their own righteousness. It would take the righteousness of Christ. The lamb, those lambs that their blood was shed, that were innocent of all the sins of the people confessing their sins upon Him, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. Behold, the eternal Lamb of God. Now, faith is the assurance of confirmation of the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, even though it happened a long time ago? Mm-hmm. I preached some sermons one time, but I don't know whether you were there or not. I preached on the external, extra-biblical evidence of the birth, the life, the death, the miraculous ministry of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ from external evidence outside of the Bible. And there's more outside of the Bible than there is in the Bible. Brother Hart.
I got a question. I've heard two stories on this. When Christ died on the cross, when He went down to Sheol to visit the captives, did they remain there before the 40 days or after the 40 days when He ascended?
When He paid the price and when He resurrected. Now, whether they stayed there 40 more days or not don't really make a whole lot of difference, does it?
No, it don't. No.
But when He paid the cost, when He paid the price, guess where they got to go? To heaven. He said, Mary, quit hanging on to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. It says in the King James, touch me not. Well, she was not. She was touching Him. She was holding on to Him.
So they went to heaven.
He took them to heaven. He escorted them to heaven. Because the price had been paid.
He's talking about after the 40 days. After the 40 days or before the 40 days?
This was when he immediately resurrected. That's right at the tomb. Acts the first chapter. He at the resurrection, I believe he took them there. Whether he waited 40 days. Now, there were people that walked around during that 40 days on earth that were resurrected saints, weren't they?
Yes. Right.
I believe he took all of them with him. Now, how many were resurrected? That's another story. I don't know.
Oh, so the people that were resurrected.
Whether all of the people in the Old Testament were resurrected, or some of them, I do not know. But I know that some were, and I know that they walked around, and I know that he took them with him. They're resurrected. They were resurrected saints. They were resurrected walking through walls like he was. The graves opened up. I can't see the graves open up without glorified bodies, can you? Especially Isaiah and Moshe. Moses. That's, I keep saying that in Hebrew, but Moshe.
So this was
all
of
it.
What? All the saints from the Old Testament was resurrected.
I don't know whether all of them or not, but many were.
So they were resurrected with glorified bodies?
I believe so. I can't see them being resurrected any other way. Except Christ was the first one.
Among the dead.
Yeah, he was the firstborn among them.
He put him back in a sinful body.
He was not going. I don't think he put him back in a sinful body. I can't see that.
That makes sense, yeah.
I can't see that. That's a good question, though. Now go back to. You have another one?
No, that's it.
Okay. How about, young lady? You got a question? Are you learning? Yeah, all right. Vincent? Sitting back here smiling a lot, Brother Art. All right.
Well, when we're talking about glorified bodies, that means he was just transported to the spiritual body to live in the environment they're in now.
Yes.
Okay, I've always thought the glorified body was not going to come till later. Okay, so.
A spiritual body and a glorified body are the same thing, Brother Ray.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, they're the same thing. Yes.
Those two words, because all those people that were. Come out of the grave at the time of
the
life,
first person, years. The only person we have absolute lots of evidence with, and we got that extra biblical and biblical, and that's Jesus. Now, extra biblical, it says some of the other ones walked around, and all of a sudden they disappeared. Where did they go? He took them with him, the Bible says.
Took them with him.
All right, so that helped you. That helped you understand.
I have a few more questions on that.
Okay, well, you got another one, just have at it.
Well, the people that came out, the time that they came out and they walked, they were dead,
yes.
They came alive.
Yes.
They were in their glorified bodies?
I believe so. I can't see God putting them in a...
I don't see a problem with that, with that. I just need to get my understanding straight and make sure that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so after the Lord did his 40-day thing and everything, and he was...
I think some of them walked around during that 40 days.
Yeah, I imagine those that came out of the grave were there for the 40-day length.
Can you imagine the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priests and everything trying to kill them old boys? Because they tried to kill Lazarus and Jesus, didn't they? Didn't work.
So right there, at the time that the Lord finally left and exited the last time in the book
yes.
of Acts,
mm-hmm.
is that when all of the saints from from the Old Testament and New Testament.
From Adam to,
gone,
to Christ.
Because right before the Lord, before he left, okay, he has not ascended to the throne of God yet, right?
Well, when Mary was holding on to him.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He hadn't ascended yet. Well, she was, he's touched me not, like I'm sinless or whatever, which he was sinless. But she was holding on to him. He didn't say, touch me not. He said, quit holding on to me.
Yeah, quit clinging.
Quit clinging to me.
So the biggest question I got right now is this. In chronological time, when did the Lord present that blood at the altar? Was it when the cross? When did he ascend? And, like to do the tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
when they presented in the Holy of Holies. When did the Lord actually present?
Apply the blood, the atonement, the kafar, the hilasmos.
I think on the cross of Calvary, when that blood spilled,
well,
that was the offering. That's the offering right there. And you have people taking Jesus, taking that offer, that blood, and putting it on in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what, by the time we went to heaven, brother, that blood was back in him.
Yeah.
There was not one bit of that holy blood left on this earth, I do not believe.
Well, God doesn't waste anything.
I think, they got blood from the cross, blood from the nails, all this kind of stuff. That was holy blood.
I was told that blood did not see decay.
No, blood will not decay.
No.
That was holy blood. It was sinless blood.
Yeah, because the Lord can decay in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did not have the blood of Adam or the blood of his father, because he had the blood of Christ, which was uncontaminated, and he did not die.
There was no infection of sin in that blood.
No infection of sin.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Is that helping you?
Yes, sir.
Now faith is assurance, a confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. We know that Christ died for our sins, you that are saved. The world will have doubts about that. I don't. I know He died for me. I know it in my heart. I know it in my spirit. I know it in my soul. I even know it in my flesh. I remember Sister, I can't even think of her name now, down at CMBI. Maybe I'll think of it before I finish the little story anyway. I remember one time, she would come to the different classes. She went to the seminary every day. This woman, she was saved out of Catholicism. She had been a Catholic. And somebody invited her to come to church. She went to Mass first, and then she came to the church, First Missionary Baptist Church of Bellflower, which used to be Gloria Gardens a long time ago. She came in there and she heard Brother Roy Reed preach. He preached a tremendous salvation message. And she would come and she would sit in all the classes. She sat in my classes. And every now and then she'd give her testimony. And one time in chapel, everybody shut up. I don't care what everybody's doing. When they heard Etta Myers was her name. When they heard Etta Myers speak up, they shut up. Now, she was probably as old as I am now. She's an old woman, you know. Anyway, she'd start telling. And she told Brother Reed, she said, Brother Reed, I first heard you preach the first time. That's the first time I ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ ever preached. I'd been in Catholic church. I went to every Mass. I did all this stuff all of my life. I was a good Catholic. But I knew not Jesus. I knew Him not. But when I came to this church, and I heard you preach about the coming of our Savior and Lord into the world, and His death, burial, and resurrection, she said, I accepted Christ Jesus with all five of my senses. Mm-hmm. By smell, by sight, by hearing, by feeling, by touch. All of my five senses I accept Jesus in. Brother Reed says, boys, that's quite a sermon. Jot it down. And I've remembered it all my life. Every time I come to this point, I have to share that. Have you accepted Jesus Christ with all five of your senses? Have you? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as a fact? For by faith and trust and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them who obtained a good report. And that's the people that did not see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know of it now. Oh, I thank my Savior for His life, for His birth into this world to save my soul. I could never have gone to heaven without Him. I'm a heathen. I'm an Indian. You know, heathens. And I heard that guy talking about them Indians in the sweat lodge, Brother Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday. I wish I could have got a hold of him.
I was thinking about that.
I reached them with their own customs. I reached them with those customs. I said, see, this is what the Bible teaches. I wish he had one of them books to read, Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of American Indians. He might understand a little bit more about them old heathens. Because they had Tonka Sheila, they had Wakan Tonka, and they had Skontaku, Skonskon. They had the Holy Spirit, Skontaku, Skonskon. They had Tonka Sheila, the Son, and Wakan Tonka. They had the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They understood it, but not perfectly. In our Bible, we have the perfect revelation of God. They had a simile, a metaphor, a type, a symbol of what it was. They never killed an animal without thanking God for its spirit. And if you've ever heard me pray, you know, Father, thank you for the animals that gave their lives for us, because they did. Whether we were there when they were killed or not, but they did it. The Indians did that. The Eskimos, when they kill a seal, they melt snow in their mouth and give it a drink, thanking it for the life that they gave to them. Where does that come from? The lambs? That the innocent lambs, that the throats were cut. You see that? A little bit further. By faith we understood that the worlds during the successive ages were framed and fashioned and put in order and equipped for their intended purpose. And so are you. That's what it said this morning when I was reading. By the word of God, so that we see was not made out of things which are visible. God did not make the worlds out of nothing. Did he? It all came from him. His eternal, magnificent treasure house.
Ex nihilo, what's that again?
Ex nihilo, that means out of nothing. He created it from him. Man came from him. Man didn't come from the dust of the ground. Man was created as he created the dust of the ground from the same elements that he created the dust of the ground. And I know people say that all the time. But that's not what the Hebrews said.
Amen.
I studied a little bit more Hebrew. I get your theology straight. Verse number 5 in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I refined it again. Now he who has fashioned us, preparing us as fit for this very thing, is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the fulfillment of His promise. That's the guarantee of salvation, the guarantee of our eternal life, guarantee of eternal life. Verse number 6. Let's look at that one now. Tharuntes, un pontote kai eidotes, hote in de muntes in to somati ek de mu omen. Apo to Kirio. You done pretty good there, Sharon, about having a look at some. Be of good, unfailing confidence. That word there, tadruntes. That's nominee plural masculine, present participle active. That means being of full confidence, complete confidence. Therefore, always. And having known, having experienced that, being tied up in the body, we are bound away from the Lord. As long as we live in this body, we can't get as close to God as we want to. Nor can we pass from where we are to Him, as long as we're in this present body. If we are not home in our body, we're bound away from the presence of our Lord Jesus. God's eternal purpose is that He's going to change this body. And this body, this sinful body, cannot stand the presence of God. John 1:18 says, "For no one has ever seen God, ever. But the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, He has let Himself out." John 1:14 says, "Kaihologo starts again until end of eternal Jehovah, flesh He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten God, full of grace and truth." As long as we're tied up in this flesh, we'll never see the full glory of God. All we can see is the promise of what is ahead for us. The promise of what is ahead for us. 5 and verse 7. 5 and verse 7. Diapisios gar peri patumen u dia ut eidos. U dia eidos. By the agency of faith. For by the agent of faith we walk about, we spread ourselves around. Peripatio. Comes from peri and patio. It's first person plural present, indicative, active. We walk around. Not by the agency of sight. We don't walk by sight. We had quite a while time walking around, driving around over there in Arroyo Grande finding those roads, brother. What showed me on the map, on the internet, Google, I went over there and I went the wrong way. Wrong Gray Corrigan. You know, he flew all the way across the ocean the wrong way one time. I felt like that. I was going on the wrong side of the... We went way over yonder almost to that casino way out there someplace by that lake. We got on the wrong side of that freeway. And I finally said, well, this isn't it. This is not working. I'm going to go turn around and come back. So we went out and got on the other side of the freeway and looked over there, and we found that road. But one side was a dead end, and the other side, then I turned down through there. And we finally found that church. Mm-hmm. Landmark, First Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, Arroyo Grande. Well, we have a road map that's clearly marked in the Word of God telling us how we can be saved. By faith. You're saved by faith. And where does faith come from? From God. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not out of you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By the agency of faith we walk about, not by sight. Not by road maps clearly beaten and blazed trail, we walk through an uncharted country, inhabited by hostile natives, poisonous plants, precipices, quicksand, swollen streams, jungles, uncharted, flesh-eating hungry animals, strange philosophies to bewitch the mind, and wicked religious persons dealing by the cards of death. Wily serpents through hostile seas, filled with hungry sharks seeking someone to devour, and friendly faces with wicked hearts. Friendly faces with wicked hearts. Quite a story, isn't it? That's where we go. We walk through that. Have you ever been taken advantage of in church? Have you ever? Have you ever had somebody tell you they're a Christian and try to rob you? Have you? How many philosophies out there of Muhammad and Charles Taze Russell and Joseph Smith are damning millions of people a day? Millions of people a day. Catholicism. Damning, keeping people away from God. Not pulling people to God, but giving them a assembly, a show of religion, a show of religion, something that will make them feel better for the moment, but keeping them, locking them away from God. Religion means what? The act of binding back again. Some religions bind you away from God. Religion.
Re means back again, I-O-N, the act of, and that word there comes from legere in Hebrew and Latin.
Ligaments is what ties your bones together and makes your arms move and your fingers move and all that. Religion is supposed to bind you back to God, but many religions bind you away from God. Consider for one moment one Muslim, one jihadist, okay? All of your life you've been told, and I can quote this from Muslims that have been converted, that their mothers and their fathers have told them that to die for Allah was the ultimate sacrifice and the only way that they could ever go directly to paradise. Every Muslim has to go to hell first. The only way you can get to heaven is by dying for Allah. I remember one Muslim boy told me, he said, you know what, I heard the gospel the first time. He said, I always heard I had to die for Allah. But then I heard that Jesus died for me, that God died for me. That's a different story. I didn't have to die for Allah. Allah, that's their idea of God. God sent forth His only begotten Son. Now, in Islam, that is a shirk. That is a deadly shirk. You say that in Islam, that Jesus was God the Son? and that there you can get you killed. That's a death sentence. That's blasphemy. That's shirk. But in the Bible, that is the truth. That's the clearly beaten pathway from the Scriptures. In verse number 8, one more verse. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Faith. By faith. When did you get faith? At the time that you were saved. Yes, when you got that faith. It's something that's a gift. Something you didn't muster up. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You can build your faith up by studying God's Word and studying the Bible. You can build your faith up by that way, but the initial faith didn't come that way. I try to teach these deep things of God to build people up in the faith so they won't go off, trace them off into Catholicism, when they won't go into Islam, when they won't go into Jehovah's Witness, when they won't go into Mormonism. Dead-end streets with death at the end. Thruman, the Rumen, Dei, Kai, Eudokumen, Malon, Ek, Dei, Masse, Et tu somatos, kai in de masse, pros ton kyrion. This is very beautiful. Be of good heart. Be of good heart. Be of good confidence, because also what we think proper and good, rather, to be away from and out of this body, to be bound up in, clothed up in Jesus. Clothed up by Jesus. Do you girls like clothes? There's no clothes that are going to equal what Jesus is going to dress you up in. You can be dressed up like Adam and Eve did, with a glorious body. A glorious body. A glorious body. Faith is a substance of reality, of things we hope for. The evidence of things not seen, as it says in the book of Hebrews. Do you have eternal life now? Do you trust in Jesus? Do you trust Him for everything? Do you trust Him for all things? You know, we will never know this side of heaven what all God has done for us. I told a little story about Marilyn driving for 14 months with a car that they had put a brand new water pump on and never put a hose clamp on it. And she went through blizzards and hot days and everything, and God watched over her. And you know what? We just discovered that last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
14 months. Now, I'm a mechanic. That don't happen. You put a hose on a water pump, and it won't stay on there without a clamp. But that's what they did. They blew it. They missed that. I told them to change every bearing in it. And that bearing went out in that water pump, what they call a false water pump, right at the right place in Maryland. Not in the middle of the winter. Not when Sharon was going to come up there and follow us and take the tractor up and then come back home and it would have broken down. But right at the right place, where we had a convoy of people to guide us through Fish Lake Valley, dark Fish Lake Valley. And that's only one thing.
Yeah.
It's only one thing, Brother Art.
Yeah, I had my car service here in Tehachapi, and I had a radiator put in it. I said, all right, ready to pick up. All right. So the shuttle took the order to pick it up. Started coming down the main street by Kmart. And the temperature gauge was zoom. Pulled over. They didn't put no water in it.
Yep.
Nothing. Keep the car dry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I knew another guy did that to your cousin. He told me about it later on. Dave's father, he worked on his car one time and forgot to put the water in the radiator. Actually put a new radiator in. Things like this happen. We have things happen to us. God, guardian angels guard us when we don't even know it. We will never know in this life how many times God has saved our lives from harm and whatever. I know I've been poisoned, shot at, contracts put out on me, been stomped to death, run over, knocked out of drilling drilling derricks and everything you can think of, and I'm still walking around not carefully. It's in bad shape. But I'm walking around to preach God's Word. Brother Benson, what song do we have? I want to give you an invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior if you're out there someplace.
393.
Is Jesus your Savior?
Alas, and dear my Savior, plead, and dear my Sovereign, die. Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Our Father, we come to You. We thank You for Your message from Your Word. We thank You for the confidence of things not seen. Faith. Faith is a confidence in that which is not in sight, but by which You have stored up for us in the heavens above. Thank You, Father. I pray if there's one out there lost that's listening to this message someplace in the world, in the Philippines, in China, Afghanistan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, that they'll come to You and ask You to forgive them of their sins, believing that Your Son died for their sins, buried, and was resurrected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.